Picture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast where we attempt to share all the awesome that we can find with all of you. I am Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, and as always, there's Kelly over there.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThuL on Twitter, and glad to be back for another week of nurturing and supporting.
And once again, Kelly spelled his name right.
Yes, I have. So, small side note. back in the day, was involved with another show called Snarkalic Radio, and 1 week was a weekly show, and 1 week I was unable to join right away, and another individual on that show decided that he was going to impersonate me, and so began the show impersonating me, including the spelling of the Twitter handle. And so I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that, but if I just say Kelly Toole, there is absolutely no way anybody's going to find that Twitter handle, because it's not spelled as you would anticipate.
No, it's not spelled the way it sounds. So, no, I wasn't making fun of it. It's just me, I would misspell it. I mistype my name all the time in emails and have to go back and correct it because I apparently can't spell my own name. And my name's not very hard. So, we'll move on. I have a very short recommendation for everyone today. Just as a behind-the-scenes kind of note, it is Super Bowl Sunday. And in honor of games that frustrate the people who watch them, my recommendation this week is a little app that's impossible to win. It is highly frustrating. And if you're like me and you like games that seem impossible to win, and that means you just have to keep coming back over and over and over again to try to play them, then you'll like this game. Also, it's free. It does have some ads built into the app, but so far I've found them to be pretty inobtrusive. Because it's a game that works on a time basis, each level is timed and you're trying to beat a time, the ads don't pop up in the middle of a level. They pop up in between levels, so they're pretty unobtrusive. The game is called The Impossible Letter Game, and it is just like it sounds.
It's impossible.
it's the simplest game you'll ever play. We've all played this game with pen and paper before when we were kids in school. And you put it in an app and time it, and somehow it just gets really, really more difficult. So what this is essentially there is a level for every letter in the alphabet. And there are varying numbers of somewhere between 40-something and 70-something games per level. So this can go on for a good long while. What you're trying to do is find basically the letter that doesn't belong. So it'll pop up on the screen anywhere from 6 to, I don't know, I didn't work out the math on the big grid, a screen full of letters.
Gotcha.
And you've got to find the one that doesn't belong. Pretty simple. We've all done that in school. We all had that in our little workbooks from kindergarten on.
Just FYI, I have never, ever played this game. So,
really? You've never played this? No. Find the one that doesn't belong? You didn't get Highlights magazine as a kid?
Well, yeah, but that was like, it was the pictures where they'd say, what's different between these two pictures? And you'd have to always look at the tree. The tree was the key.
Yes, the worlds would be different or something. So, you know, I like word type games. Nothing so far makes words. You're just looking for the letter, or sometimes it's a number. You're looking for something that's mismatched. There's one particular level where I say number, because so far we've had to tell the difference between a 0 and an O and a 1 from an I. When you have a big white field of letters and you're trying to distinguish something that like that, it becomes pretty hard, and especially as you're being timed when you do it. So to get to the next level, you have to do it within a certain time frame, and you get so many stars based on how fast you do it. So when the game starts out, it's really simple. You're gonna get the best time ever for the first few levels. Then it starts getting a little bit harder when it throws up a huge screen in, let me see, I think it was the Acorn level in the A's. You get a screen full of W's and you're looking for an M. It's painful. It's painful, especially as I believe in that level, you have to do 3 puzzles and beat the time to pass on to the next level. So you've got to do 3 of these under time. And I was like over time in the first puzzle and there's still 2 more to do. So you can replay levels. And once you figure out what the odd man out is that you're looking for on a particular level, it doesn't like give you a whole new puzzle. So you do have that going for you. They're not always going to be in the same place, but you know, when you fail the Acorn level, you can go back and play it again and you will still be looking for an M amidst all the W's, but they'll be in different places. So it's amazing and frustrating. And the same thing, the pride that you feel when you beat that lowest time is just amazing, but it gets harder. So I thought Acorn was pretty hard.
So you mentioned it goes, so you go like through the alphabet once and then the next level, or you basically got to go through 40 levels of A before you get to B.
Yes. That's, you've got like, I think in the each A, B, C, D, each big level like that has its own little name. And then within each alphabet letter, so in the A's, there are 40, I want to say 46. I didn't write them down. I think there are 46 A levels to go through. And we're talking some of these puzzles take the best time is under a second or under 3 seconds, something like that. So you can get through these pretty fast until you hit Acorn, which is pretty big. So you may have to play it a couple of times, but you'll get through it. And each, as you progress through the game, you unlock other play modes. This is the campaign mode where you're moving through the entire alphabet. You can go back and there are some different methods of playing that you have to unlock through playing campaign. One of which would be Turbulence, which is absolutely evil. And that's as far as I've gotten. I am in the B's.
Okay.
Of the entire alphabet. And what's got me stuck right now is I unlocked Turbulence. What Turbulence is imagine that field of W's with an M in it, and then they start moving, trying to find that one little M. Or in my case, the level that I am on, I believe, is called Balance. And I think I am looking for... Let me see if I wrote it down. That's right. I'm looking for an X in a field of K's. This is much harder than it sounds, especially when the K's start jiggling and moving around and spinning in place. And in these kind of games, you know, kind of the trick to them is you relax your eyes. It's an eye exercise game. You relax your eyes trying to see, you know, that one thing that's going to pop out at you that doesn't belong, kind of like hidden picture type games. Well, with you, all the K's start spinning around and jiggling back and forth and they're moving, they're catching your eye and you can't find the X. I have played this level for 2 days now and I can't, I have not beaten all, I think there's 3 puzzles in this game and I haven't gotten through all 3 in time. So I like to make sure if you do complete a level, you can move on. There are hints. There are things where you can skip. I like to torture myself. So I really need to beat this game at least under one of the levels, the time requirements, to feel as if I have earned the right to move on. So you do have hints. The hints, which are one of the things that you can buy in the game. One of the only things you have to buy. If you want to get hints, you can buy them. You get 3 free when the game starts. What a hint does is it removes half the letters from the board. And that sounds like, oh, that would be really easy. I tried that. I still couldn't find the X. So anyway, it is exactly what it sounds like, the impossible letter game. So if you like to torture yourself with very simplistic games, brain teasers, this is most definitely one of those brain games that's supposed to wake you up. And I guess the fact that I'm doing so horribly at it means I really need to play this game more. So it's the impossible letter game by Gamma Lateral, or the makers of it. It is available on iOS, Android and Windows Phone, y'all. So there's no excuse not to play it. I've seen up online where there are some screenshots of the actual game of the boards that you're playing to give you an example of what it is. But really, it's just this big field of letters, and you're trying to find the one that doesn't belong when they all look quite a lot alike, like Q's and P's. Now, I can't tell you one of them. I did really good on the B and A's. Okay.
Oh, really?
I did really good on that level. Yeah. No, it wasn't really that hard. Huh. I did that one way under time. I was very proud of myself. But for some reason, X's and K's, I just can't tell. So I will be working on the balance level for quite a while. But turbulence is evil. And there are many, many, many other things that they throw in after turbulence. I just haven't gotten to them yet. So I thought I would tell everyone about it so they could share in my pain. This game's been out for a while, so I had downloaded it at some point and had never played it on my phone and was wondering what it was. So I opened it up the other day and was like, oh, well, here's Mel's new obsession, trying to find the letter that doesn't belong. So give it a try if you like to torture yourself with letters and numbers that jiggle around.
Well, I definitely will now that I can use my phone again, thanks to Mel. As we were getting ready to go on the show, my phone just totally kind of crapped out, and she stepped me through the highly sophisticated hard reboot process for an Android phone. So that was pretty cool. So thanks for that. So what is the difference between a 0 and an O? Are the O's fatter? Is that
yes.
The...
Okay. The O is rounder, and the zeros are, you know, skinnier.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't kind enough to give you the zero where you put the line through it, you know, like I was taught to do, so you could make sure it was a zero and not an O. They weren't nice enough to do that. Now, if they ever do put that line through it and then want me to distinguish between that and eights on the board, then we might have a problem. We'll see. I would not put it past them because I'm very early in this game. And I guess I feel towards this game kind of like some people feel with Candy Crush. I never got into Candy Crush, but this one, I'm like, it's evil. It's Excellent. Just evil.
Well, I'm definitely going to download it now that I can. Thank you, and I will play it. It's interesting because one of my recommendations I was going to come forward with today, and I kind of went with something else instead, would have been something of similar ilk. And so I will save, there will be future game frustration on a later episode. But this one sounds pretty fun. I'll have to grab that after the show. Excellent.
Cool.
All righty. So my recommendation, shockingly enough, is a documentary. I know that I hardly ever recommend, but I think this is a documentary that you'll enjoy, Mel. Okay. And I owe it to you, because your recent recommendation of the 100 has become one of the largest time sucks in my life. As I
know, but it's so good.
It is excellent. And so thank you for that. And I knew it was out there and kind of had heard good things, but your description and worked out just great to start watching it. So it's fun. They've just started the third season then, pretty early in it. Or has it been going for a while?
No, I think this last week was episode 3 of the new season. So they'll probably, I'm not sure how CW is about keeping episodes up online, but I bet they'll be up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting there. Season one is about done. So very cool. Excellent.
Oh, you'll love season 2 then. Each season's gotten better. Season 3 is like crazy. So.
Yeah, and I try and, for maximum enjoyment, you shouldn't spoil it. You should just let it play out and go forward. But when you're on Netflix and you go pick a different episode, if you want to perhaps skim through the additional episodes and read the descriptions, you could begin to pick up if somebody's mentioned, okay, well, this person's clearly didn't. And so I've been fighting that. Not successfully.
Don't do that because people die in this show.
Most of the time, though, their description is an unexpected death. You know?
Yes.
And so, but... but other times it can get spoiled. So I did a little light skim of season 2, and I said, I need to stop this because the surprise is a very cool thing. So thanks again for that one. But so I owe you a loss of time, and so I figure a documentary that's available for free in 3 parts on YouTube that will take about 3 hours out of your life is somewhat equal payback. Okay. And this documentary is on something that I know you're a fan of, Johnny Quest.
Oh.
So this is really cool. It's some guy put it together. It's not anything that was done through like traditional documentary making mechanisms. It's somebody put it together, is passionate about it. As a technician in putting a documentary together, he could probably get better. There's a few things. The intro, just bear with it because you don't get off on the right foot, because the process as it starts to begin with, you're like, oh my God, it's taken like a solid 3 or 4 minutes before we get to anything meaty. But once it actually starts, it moves at a nice pace. Okay. Someone needs to visit with him about his choice of fonts, because a lot of times they're very helpful pieces of additional information that come up on the screen, but they're done in a narrow cursive font and a fairly small point size. And you're like, I'm not really sure what that says. You mean you can stop it and go look. So, but outside of those small flaws, this is chocked full of information. And it's really pretty fascinating. I don't want to spoil it for you because I just think you want to kind of go through. But we'll kind of touch on a couple key things that were interesting. So Johnny Quest, as you would expect, was created by Hanna-Barbera, which, you know, is the home of Tom and Jerry from the movie. And that's where they kind of cut their teeth, was making cartoon movies. But when television showed up, the movie industry kind of said, well, cartoons are done on movies, so they shifted over to television. That was a problem because it costs a lot of money to do animation. And a 7-minute segment of Tom and Jerry would take like 14,000 cells to do 7 minutes of animation. So, and if you're doing it on TV, you need to do it in a week. You got to kind of tighten things up. So they came up with this idea called planned animation, and you see this throughout all the Hanna-Barbera stuff, where it's like, well, we'll keep most of the character's body still, and we'll only animate what needs to animate. If they're talking, just their heads are going to be animated. And, of course, you know well from the Flintstones, if they're walking through a room, you pass the same couch 4 or 5 times.
Right.
They reuse the backgrounds and all that. So they do a lot of things to really boil down the animation to the point where that 14,000 for Tom and Jerry becomes 2,000 for a planned animation kind of structure. So they were doing that, and they did the Flintstones, which is a primetime cartoon, and it did really well. Cost $65,000 an episode to produce the Flintstones.
Wow.
So, and then they did the Jetsons, and it didn't do quite as well as the Flintstones. But they were kind of visionary because they always did their cartoons in color, even though at the time there was a lot more black and white sets than color sets. They had always done their cartoons in color.
Yeah.
And so they thought ahead and they came up with some kind of creative ways. But what they really wanted to do, they said, we need to do something different. Had good success with the Flintstones and had Huckleberry Hound, which I didn't realize that Yogi Bear was a spinoff of Huckleberry Hound. Most of the Hanna-Barbera, Huckleberry Hound was the first Hanna-Barbera franchise, and Snagglepuss and Yogi Bear and all those came from original appearances in Huckleberry Hound. So.
Oh, I knew they were related, but I thought it was the other way around.
Yep. So it was pretty cool. So you get some neat background on Hanna-Barbera, but they wanted to say, you know, what we really want to do is something called a creative adventure. And they wanted to do more realistic drawings, have it be more like a graphic novel on the show. And there used to be a radio show back in the, I don't know, 30s maybe, called Jack Armstrong, All American Boy. And so they were going to, okay, we're going to make Jack Armstrong, All American Boy. It's going to be this creative adventure, and we're going to do it using animation. And as they kind of got ready, and they brought in a gentleman named Doug Wiley, who used to be work with Atlas, which became Marvel. He came up with some ideas, and they eventually said, you know what, we're still going to do this, but instead of, we're going to start fresh, new characters, new concept. Doug come up with the idea, and so he came up with Johnny Quest. Or originally, what was going to be titled, The Adventures of Chip Baloo. That's right. Johnny Quest was going to be Chip Baloo. I just don't think that would have worked quite as well.
No, Johnny Quest worked much better.
Perfect. So 26 episodes in the original Johnny Quest. Now, there have been other ones, a couple of variations down the road, some made for some TV movies, some games, like 3 different video games for it. But you know, this is mostly about the Johnny Quest we all know and love, those 26 episodes. So he goes through lots of stuff on through there, and that they were always cutting costs. And so what you'll see is the guy who has a very distinctive voice that does Race Bannon, he will occasionally voice other characters, and you just pretty much go, oh, that's Race Bannon with an Irish accent, or that's Race Bannon trying to talk a little higher in all those things. But it was just kind of clearly his voice. Every once in a while, the dialogue would come out of the wrong character's mouth, a little bit here and there. But, you know, overall, they were pretty happy. And Doug Wiley loved how it went and where it was going, with the exception that he really didn't like Bandit. And I didn't really realize it until watching the documentary, but that's a realistic world with the Flintstones dog in the middle of it. Because Bandit is clearly a cartoon dog versus a creative adventure type of thing.
Yeah.
Used for comic relief.
I like Bandit, though.
Yeah, he was comic relief. He was fun. But if you, I hadn't really thought about it, but you look at it, it's like, yeah, you're doing very realistic everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Bandit, not so much.
Yeah, but we were kids. We didn't care.
That's right. it was fun from there. The thing that I didn't realize is pretty much, so it was a early in the Friday evening show. It was a more of an evening show. And there was a lot more about, you know, people get killed in Johnny Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it made its way to Saturday mornings. And when it made its way to Saturday mornings, people were like, ah, we need to play up the Bandit side of this and play down a little bit of the I just shot three frogmen kind of thing. So they had to edit it. And basically, most of the DVDs, if you're going to go get a Johnny Quest DVD set, you're going to get those Saturday morning edits. So the truest ones. And I don't know if they're ever going to get around to giving you, these are the pristine, the way they were done,
mm-hmm.
or not, but they made all, you know, they had to take up because it was, you know, it's probably not typical Saturday morning fare because there is a little more violence in it from there. Tim Matheson was the voice of Johnny Quest. I don't know if you, did you know that?
Yeah.
I did not. So that was kind of a cool thing to see. And originally, I forgot to mention on the Bandit thing, Doug Wiley wanted either a white cheetah or a monkey as Johnny Quest's animal partner. But Bandit worked out awesome from there. So it's really good. Like I said, there's a little bit on the mechanics of putting something together every once in a while. It's like, I kind of wish you would have made that text. Because they talk, the only thing that had been done kind of in the realistic mode prior to Johnny Quest was that treasure clutch cargo, where they draw the cartoon characters and they would superimpose actual actors' mouths over their face. It was the creepiest looking thing. I'm unaware of this one. You absolutely, and we should include in the blog post a little clutch cargo clip, because these are truly frightening because it's kind of a realistic cartoon, but as they have dialogue to save on animation costs, they just superimpose somebody's mouth talking, okay, clutch. You know, it's like really kind of creepy. So,
okay.
So at least the total ones in just to creep people out. But it's good. You know, he threw in some things around that, you know, about Clutch Cargo as being one of kind of the predecessors to this and all that. Like I said, you could have tightened it up a little bit, but by and large, once he gets rolling after that ridiculously long introduction, it just moves right along. And it's really fun, and you learn a bunch of stuff. And the guy seems very knowledgeable. He's done his homework, and it's just fun. So I owe you multiple hours of lost time. This is three parts. Basically, if you do a YouTube search on Johnny Quest documentary, when you find one that says part 1 of 3, 2 of 3, and 3 of 3, you found it.
Okay.
And just go ahead and take it out from there.
That's cool. I have to say, I liked Johnny Quest, the character Johnny Quest, but I really liked Race. I always wondered, man, he's supposed to be hot and he has white hair. Why does this guy have all this white hair? The things you wonder about when you're a kid. But yeah, I liked Bandit. I liked Haji too.
It was fun. I mean, it was a good, and in the Chris, you had people that were good storytellers. The new relationships were important, and it was that nice combination. You got tech gadgets and all those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And when they made the original pitch for this whole Jack Armstrong thing, the artist put together a demo clip of this is what Jack Armstrong, All-American Boy, will look like. And they go, yeah, we love it, but let's do this Johnny Quest thing instead. But they used parts of that demo clip of the very end of each Johnny Quest where they're kind of flying in the hover ship, getting in there, there's the guys throwing spears at them, and they go on the plane to take off. That was actually demo footage for Jack Armstrong, All-American Boy.
Hmm.
And they said, oh, that's pretty cool. So they kind of just tacked that on at the end, which is why we never saw it in that actual scene in a Johnny Quest storyline.
Yeah. I like the name Johnny Quest just so much better than all these other things.
Chip just, Blue. Yeah. No, I don't. Just don't.
That wasn't going to go.
No, not at all. And I truly enjoyed that original series. I barely checked into any of the other ones. Beyond the pretty awesome quasi sort of appearance of Johnny Quest in Venture Brothers, because it's a little unclear, but it appears that the kind of so-so scientist and a pretty much quack scientist is actually maybe Quentin Quest is his father. Mm-hmm. And Johnny is now this kind of, with all the stress that life introduced to him, he's become this kind of like meth addict called Action Johnny. And he's just always kind of spazzy in those types of things.
You can see that.
I think Race makes an appearance. They call him Red. I don't know why. But it's they're in there
shirt,
a little bit.
Probably. He only ever wore a red shirt, I think.
I think so. Except the one episode where he dyed himself purple to act as the god. And those are all good. So, so get your Johnny Quest. If you haven't watched it, you absolutely need to watch that. Check this documentary out. It's very cool to kind of hear the storyline, get a little backstory of Hanna-Barbera. And it was really fun and enjoyable.
Yeah, Hanna-Barbera played a huge role in my childhood. I loved Hanna-Barbera. But I think, aren't they trying to do a Johnny Quest movie?
I think so.
I think a live-action Johnny Quest movie, I think. Yeah. That'll be interesting, because I'm not sure the kids these days know anything about Johnny Quest.
I do not think they'll have a frame of reference at all. No. I mean, it could be okay. I have no idea how they cast that thing. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Who is Ray Fannin?
Yeah, I saw something come up the other day about it. They were talking about Hanna-Barbera, and they brought that up, and I didn't read much about it. We'll have to look into it so we can keep everybody apprised of the Johnny Quest movie reboot. So cool. Love Johnny Quest. So much fun. Yeah. Way better than Flintstones. Flintstones was probably my least favorite cartoon ever. I way preferred the Jetsons.
I was not much of a fan of either. But I'd say if I had to pick between the two, I'd pick the Jetsons over the Flintstones. But
yeah, I did not like the Flintstones at all. I remember as a kid the Flintstones was sexist. So forget that. Fred was awful. Who would want to be married to Fred Flintstone? Please.
There is zero redeeming qualities to Fred that I can think of. And Barney, I mean, is
not much better.
Not much better. just dumb. Never was a fan. And the kind of set pieces for all the humor that was always like, oh, the garbage disposal is going to say something now, or this. It's like, once you kind of go to that well six or seven times, that's possibly enough.
And honestly, they threw me when the little space Martian guy, I can't remember his name,
Marvin the Martian. No, Gizmo.
Something. I don't remember his name, but I didn't understand. I didn't get it. It made no sense to me as a kid, and it totally threw me out of the world.
Yeah, the kids today, they'd like a Martian. So,
I didn't get it.
It was strange. Yeah. All righty. Social media for this week. Long overdue. And this is a friend of ours from the bad science fiction movie days. And when Sci-Fi used to give us good opportunities to watch that on a regular basis. She's super nice. Her name's Myrna. And it's at LEMYRN on Twitter. She watches a bunch of the stuff that we talk about on a pretty regular basis, tweets actively through most of the shows. She's, like I said, very nice and funny. There are times when technology challenges Myrna, and maybe if you follow her, you can give her help, because she will ask for help when technology challenges her.
Yes.
But she's just awesome, and we had never, not that I recall, made a recommendation. For Myrna, so it's like, hey, there you go. We'll get her out.
Yeah,
today.
That's a huge oversight, because Myrna watches Teen Wolf with me.
There you go.
No one else watches Teen Wolf with me. So really, Kelly, since you now believe me about the 100, which Myrna also watches, you need to start watching Teen Wolf.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Let me get through 100 first.
The shirtlessness this season in Teen Wolf has reached all new heights, let me tell you. And since I'm outside of the age range that they're shooting for, I just find it hilarious. So anyway, Myrna at least has a teenage daughter to watch Teen Wolf with. I'm watching it on my own. It's got a good story, despite the fact that they have these teenage boys taking off their shirts all the time. It's okay.
Yeah. Let's put a pin in that one for now. We'll see. We may come back to that one. But yeah, I just, for Myrna, there's always just this genuineness in her tweets as she goes through. A lot of us, we watch the shows, we're just looking for opportunities to be a smart aleck, and
yes.
I'm guilty of that. Myrna, you actually hear what's going through her head. If she was really happy about something that happened, or not so happy, surprised, she lets you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd seen some of the exchanges on Teen Wolf, and probably the 100 between the two of you. So I maybe will be able to join you guys on 100 here in an episode or two, but depends how my binge-viewing goes.
Yeah, I still have to catch up on last week's. So it comes on at the same time as something else that I DVR too. So I have to be careful that my DVR catches everything if I don't get to watch it live. So anyway. We'll be back with next week with more The 100.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now we're going to turn it over to Matt, whose real name is actually Chip Blue, who will tell you about the many different ways that you can connect to us through iTunes, or the blog, email, Twitter, etc. And look forward to talking again to everybody next week.
For more Flintstones and The 100 talk next week. Great. Tune in. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.